receive messages from people who demonstrate a complete lack of understanding regarding what Daniel's 70th week, revealed in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, is all about. They'll say things like, "How dare you believe that you're not going to suffer persecution?" And we don't believe that, and that has nothing to do with the Great Tribulation period. It has nothing to do with the pre-trib rapture. We do not teach, I just want to make it clear, and we're going to talk about it at some length for a few minutes. We do not believe or teach that the purpose of the rapture is to keep Christians from being persecuted. Christians have been persecuted for going on 2,000 years. Jesus was the first. He was crucified for being the Christ. And all of his followers, including 11 of his apostles, were murdered because they were Christians. They were followers of Christ. Since that time, you can read all about the Christians in the early church, ripped limb from limb by lions, thrown in pots of boiling oil, strung up, crucified and put in on stakes in Nero's garden and set aflame to burn. You can read all about the Christians who were persecuted and killed even beyond Rome when you get into the existence or the appearance of Muhammad and Islam. And since 600 AD thereabouts, Islam has been killing Christians almost nonstop. There's been some lulls in that, just like with the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church is a false cult. It started in the 4th century. Constantine gave it the impetus. Augustine gave it the theology. And Origen gave it its Alexandrian text for its Bible that you now see in all the evangelical churches in their new versions in this age of apostasy. And the Roman Catholic Church slaughtered millions of Christians, not just in the Inquisitions, but also in those Crusades. They'd go kill anybody. They really didn't even care if you were Catholic. There's stories of Catholics taking their women or their young ladies and sending them up into the mountains to hide with the Waldenses because they knew that these Crusaders were so wicked they'd rape the little Catholic girls just as surely as they would anybody. But anyway, there's a trail of blood throughout church history, church persecution. We give that book away in our church. We host a Facebook page called The Trail of Blood. And we try to educate people on the persecution of the church for 2,000 years. And you have never heard me, and if you have ever heard any pre-trib rapture teacher say that the purpose of the rapture is to take Christians out of the world so they won't be persecuted, that person is an ignoramus. But I've never heard it. I've listened to hundreds, literally hundreds of preachers preach on the rapture in 27 years as a Christian. And I've never heard any of them teach that the purpose of the rapture is to take Christians out so that they're not persecuted. This time of great tribulation is outlined in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. Now, I want to say this. People are always whining because there's so many little novices and infants. They're infantile Christians. I believe they're saved. They say they're saved. But they're infants spiritually. And they'll say, it's not called the Great Tribulation in the Bible. The purpose of language is to communicate. Okay? Jesus called it a time of great tribulation. Therefore, we can refer to it as Great Tribulation or the Great Tribulation because he said there's going to be, it'll be like nothing we've ever experienced. It's not just a time of great tribulation, it is the great tribulation. And if you have a problem with that, grow up. The word Trinity isn't in the Bible, but we use the word Trinity. The word rapture isn't in the King James Bible, but we use the word rapture to communicate a truth. And it is a truth. There is a time of great tribulation that is the great tribulation. It's like nothing. We'll quote that later. I just go on. You can find this, though. The great tribulation is detailed in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and it's laid out in detail from Revelation 6 through Revelation 20. We've got over 100 hours of study on the book of Revelation. And we've got a whole series of messages, I think it's up to 8 hours now, on the rapture. There is no mention of the church in any passage of covering this time of Great Tribulation. There is no body of Christ mentioned in any passage dealing with this time of Great Tribulation. There's no one being born again during this time of Great Tribulation. There is nobody preaching the gospel of the grace of God. There's nobody preaching Romans or 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 as the way to be saved. And what you're told is you're saved during this time by not taking the mark and not worshiping the image of the beast. And I know some of you don't have the sense to be able to understand that. And a lot of you YouTube teachers out there are misleading people with that nonsense. But I want to get into the meat of my discussion. And that is to simply say that you either refuse to be taught, or you've not seen teaching like ours, you haven't seen ours or anyone else's that helps you to understand this difference. And so then when they hear us talk about a preacher of rapture, we get a knee-jerk response. Now, this guy, I'm using a guy who's very respectful, Sam Storms. He's affiliated with Piper, John Piper. And he's taught in John Piper's seminars, and he's featured in John Piper's ministry. And I'm using this because he's very respectful, but he demonstrates what I believe is a fundamental misunderstanding about this time called the Great Tribulation.
I do believe there will be Great Tribulation preceding the return of Christ. I think that there will be an increased global persecution of the church just prior to the coming of the Lord.
Now, that gives you an idea of the kind of misunderstanding that you get from people. And the Great Tribulation is not about persecution. Although it is severe. I mean, persecution is terrible during this time. Daniel refers to the Antichrist wearing out the saints. It's a tough time, but that's not what it's about. And the rapture has nothing to do with that aspect. It's not to take us away from being persecuted. The rapture is about the judgment and wrath of God that's going to be poured out on the Antichrist and all who have followed him. But they're going to be believers all over the world, and they are going to suffer the consequences of these things as well. Revelation 6:16 is the first mention in the book of Revelation, and this is not at the end of the tribulation. And these references of God's wrath are throughout the Bible. And Revelation 6:16 says that the people will be so desperate because of the impact of the sealed judgments that it says, they'll say to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." You see, there's this false teaching that feeds a lot of this misunderstanding that the time of tribulation is not about God's wrath. And because they want to protect their pet doctrines, they try to put the wrath of God just at the end of the time of Great Tribulation. And that's not the way it's presented in Scripture. Scripture presents, and we've studied it verse by verse, beginning with Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, and all the way through. Revelation 6:17 says, "For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand?" The answer is nobody. And Christians during that time are going to be slaughtered. And yes, persecution has been bad. And there in the past 2,000 years, there have been some Christians who have suffered terribly, horrible. But it hasn't been worldwide at any one time. And in this time, this era, this time of Great Tribulation, God is pouring out his wrath. There are seven sealed judgments, seven trumpets, seven vials. And there's war going on all over the world, famine, and all these things that just continue from the time they start on through the end. And it's a time of God's wrath being poured out, and the persecution is global. So yes, I mean, there's people who have suffered as bad as a human can suffer throughout church history, but this persecution will be so widespread, and it'll be global to the point where the collective persecution of Christians during this time will be like nothing that's ever existed in the past 2,000 years. There may have been pockets of it from time to time in portions and regions of the world, but never globally. I want to run these references. You'll go all the way from Revelation 6 through Revelation 20, and you'll see that all the way through what's happening in the great this time of great tribulation is the wrath of God. Revelation 11, 18, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." And so he's saying that the purpose of the wrath of God, it's a culmination of the end of the age. And it's another subject, but we're getting ready to see the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation, not the rapture, where he's in the air and the believers and the dead in Christ rise first and they meet Jesus in the air. This is when we come back with him on white horses, in Revelation 19 it's described, and he comes to the earth and destroys. The rapture is a rescue. The return is a time of destruction. Revelation 14:10 says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb." See, this is the purpose of the tribulation period that we call the time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week. The purpose is not persecution. And the purpose of the rapture isn't to keep us from being persecuted. It's to take us out and away from the wrath of God. We are the bride of Christ, and I love this. Some people don't like it, but I do. I love this reference, this phrase, the fact that, you know, we're married to God. We are the bride. We are engaged to God right now. And he's not going to beat his bride. He's not going to beat up his bride. And whenever you've seen persecution happening between the time of the ascension of Jesus Christ and today, it's not God. God's not persecuting people. God's not beating his bride. And God's not pouring out his wrath on his bride, and he never will. The wrath of God is all about God judging an entire planet who, with the exception of a remnant of believers, have taken upon themselves the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. Revelation 14:19 says, "And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God." I'm going to read a couple more references. I just want to show you. It goes all the way through the book of Revelation. Revelation 15:1, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." Revelation 15:7, "And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever." Next chapter, Revelation 16:1, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." Revelation 16:19, "And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." And then a couple chapters later, Revelation 19:15, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword," this is at the time of the return, "that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." That's at the return of Jesus Christ. All these other previous verses are not at the return. They're during the tribulation period, during that seven-year period, Daniel's 70th week. And so, comments like these just show a lack. I'm not saying he's ignorant. I'm saying he just doesn't get it. And I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's not purposely misrepresenting us. But Sam Storms and anybody else saying this just doesn't get it.
Now, even having said that, I do want to make this point, and I try to do this anytime people ask me about it. To speak from a North American Western orientation of this coming Great Tribulation can be highly offensive to our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are already in the midst of the most horrific tribulation imaginable. The persecution that they are suffering, imprisonment, torture, a loss of home, loss of family, many times loss of life.
Now, biblical teaching is not offensive to anybody. It's not going to be offensive to these non-North Americans whenever it's taught right. See, the problem is they're offended because they're being told false things. I've talked to non-North American believers from, we hear from every country that has internet. 100 and some countries we've heard from who have written us letters. I've even got phone calls overseas. Now, that's difficult. I don't want to encourage people to do that. It's expensive, and I get so many calls from telemarketers, I don't answer the phone a lot. I have to take a message and get back with people. But anyway, we've heard from people from all, more than 100 nations on the planet. And I don't hear from them that, oh, you are so offensive. The people who are offended are in America. and some people, maybe in England, a couple of people I've heard from who are offended by it. But most of the people offended by what we teach on the rapture are Americans. Whiny, ignorant, novice Americans who don't understand the Bible. That's it. Because if you teach the truth and you help anybody, including non-Western Christians, to understand that this time of great tribulation is not about persecution, and all Christians are told in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's before the rapture. And after the rapture, those who come to faith and don't take the mark or worship the image of the beast, they shall suffer persecution. The rapture is not and has never been taught by any sound teacher that it has anything to do with getting us away from persecution. So if you teach the truth, you'll tell these non-Western Christians that, yes, Americans have gotten a free ride for a while. It is true. But even Americans have suffered loss. I mean, there are Americans who have been killed for being Christians. And some of them have made the big news, like the Columbine shooter who went around asking if they believe in God. And if they said yes, boom, popped them in the head. That's happened. And there's Christians who have lost jobs and lost everything they own. And that's not the same as being ripped to shreds by a lion, but that's not an easy thing to go through. And some of those people wish they'd just been shot in the head and not had to go through with it. You know, and Christians have suffered in America, even in America, in Canada, and all of North America. Christians have suffered, but we do acknowledge that the obvious, that it's not like it is in a lot of other countries. It will be if our Muslim president keeps bringing in Muslim immigrants here in 2016, or if the next president elected it continues to bring in Muslims in this country and give them free health care and free education, and then just turn them into intelligent terrorists. And no, not all Muslims are terrorists, but whenever 10 or 20% of them are, there's a problem. And so anyway, Paul reminds us of something in Romans 16, 17, that division comes by teaching error. And what I'm getting at is, it's not us who are preaching the truth of the pre-trib imminent rapture, but it's those who are misrepresenting us who are causing the problem that he brought up with when it comes to these non-Western Christians. If they hear us teach it and they understand that it doesn't have anything to do with persecution, we do suffer persecution, we will continue to suffer persecution, the rapture doesn't have anything to do with taking Christians out of this world so that they won't suffer persecution, then you know what? There's no reason for offense. Problem solved. All you have to do is stop teaching it falsely. Stop misrepresenting the pre-trib doctrine. Romans 16, 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So Paul is pointing out that the source of division isn't the pre-trib rapture, it's people misrepresenting the pre-trib rapture. And if it was not misrepresented, those non-Western Christians wouldn't have a reason to be offended.
It's hard to envision that any tribulation could be worse than what millions of Christian men and women are enduring presently. So it feels a little bit misguided from my point of view for those of us in the West to be debating whether or not we'll go through great tribulation when so many in the Christian church are already experiencing this in a way that we can't even begin to imagine.
It's hard to envision that any tribulation could be worse than what millions of Christian men and women are enduring presently. That's ridiculous. I mean, like I said, in pockets it's terrible. But take the worst pocket of persecution you're aware of today and then make that global. See the difference? Yes, there are tribes. There's been total genocide going on by ISIS. But that's only in Syria and Iraq. Take what's going on in Syria and Iraq and make it global in your neighborhood, in all the surrounding communities, throughout your state, all 50 states, and not just in America, but Canada and Mexico, Central America, South America, Africa, Europe, over in the entire Russian nation, which is a huge piece of land, everywhere. See the difference? So the problem is a fundamental misunderstanding about the Great Tribulation. It's not the doctrine that we are teaching that's the problem. And this, he says, it's hard to envision. Well, that's not our standard. Our standard isn't whether or not you can imagine it. Our standard is, what does the Bible say? Going back to Jesus' comments in Matthew 24 regarding this, he said in verses 21 and 22, For then shall be great tribulation. Listen closely. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. That's not talking about 70 AD. 70 AD was terrible for Jerusalem and the surrounding cities in Israel. It was not terrible in Turkey or Asia Minor, as it appears on the maps in those days. It wasn't terrible in Egypt. It wasn't terrible over in Persia. It wasn't terrible up in the Caucasus Mountains. It wasn't terrible anywhere except in Israel. The time of Great Tribulation is not just about Israel. It's interesting. I think it's that Joel Richardson, who's trying to prove that there's going to be a Islamic Antichrist, he's trying to prove that the entire thing that you read about, you know, what obviously is around the whole world, he's trying to make it just Middle Eastern. And you see what I'm saying? When they teach against the pre-trib rapture and they reject dispensations or both, they have to then come up with these other false... Heresy begets heresy. Now, people don't like that word heresy. That's different from apostasy. I'm not saying Joel Richardson's not saved. I'm saying, though, when you teach things that are unbiblical, it's heresy. There are more serious heresies than others. But this is a heresy to teach that the rapture is not imminent. It's a heresy to teach that the Antichrist is going to be the Islamic Mahdi. And it's heresy to say that all of these things that we're reading about and studying about when it comes to the end times is only in the Middle East. That's false. It's heresy. It's going to be all over the world, and it'll be, it says, this will be such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And it's going to be so bad that God's going to shorten the days for the elect's sake. We've got a message on Mark 13 that explains what that means, the elect. And Christians have read the Bible just enough to be dangerous, and these non-dispensationalists, Calvinists, every time they see the word elect, they think it's us. Or they wouldn't put me in that. They think it's the Calvinists. A lot of them only think the Calvinists are saved. So every time they see elect, they're, oh, that's my Calvinist church. No, it's not. It's Israel. Context, context, context. It's Israel. So In closing, I just want to remind you that the Great Tribulation period is not about God rapturing us out of here so that we're not persecuted. It's about God removing His people, His bride, the church. And as you read in Revelation 19, there's a time of judgment. It's described in places like 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and elsewhere, the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where the bride makes herself ready. And you see that in Revelation 19. And then after she's ready, there's the marriage supper of the Lamb, not to be confused with the great supper, which happens when Jesus returns. But the bride has been made ready at the judgment seat of Christ. It's all in Revelation 19, and we've taught it. Go find our messages on Revelation 19, and it'll lay it out for you. The bride is made ready by the judgment. She then enjoys the marriage supper. Then that bride, collectively, we are the army that jumps on white horses, Revelation 19, and follows Jesus back so that He can destroy. The rapture was to rescue. The return is to destroy. And He's going to destroy the Antichrist and all who have taken His mark and worship the image of the beast who are still alive. Now, there is a rapture going on at the end of the tribulation, but it's not to bring anybody to heaven. They actually are raptured and then brought to Jerusalem, where the king will sit on a throne and judge. And the sheep and the goats. The goats are cast into hell, and the sheep enter into the millennial kingdom of 1,000 years. And you'll just have to look up our studies in Revelation 20 and elsewhere on that millennial kingdom, because that's another thing that is taught falsely. There's people deny the premillennial return of Jesus Christ, deny the 1,000-year reign. Some say there's no millennium. They're all millennialists. Some say that Jesus returns at the end. They're post-millennialists. And then there's millennial agnostics. But back on track here, we are talking about the fact that the rapture is taught falsely. People misrepresent us, and they say that the rapture is to, or these people who believe in the rapture think that God's going to take them out of the world so they don't suffer persecution. No. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, take those two scriptures that we read. 2 Timothy 3:12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's a promise. Everybody's going to suffer persecution. But you're not appointed to wrath. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." That tells you that if you're a Christian and you're waiting on the rapture to get you out of here so you don't have to suffer persecution, you're wrong. You will suffer persecution if you live right. You serve the Lord, you're going to suffer persecution to some extent. But God isn't going to pour His wrath out on you.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.